you're listening to the AHDB podcast, farming news and stories from across the UK.
Calves, the cuties of our farms, but are we making our cuties as cosy as we can? It is critical we get our calf housing correct and we get our calves off to the best possible start in life. But why are we not able to achieve this? I'm Hannah Lilburn, Knowledge Exchange Manager at AHDB Dairy, and today I'm joined by Jamie Robertson from the University of Aberdeen as we discuss how to create the perfect environment for our calves. Welcome, Jamie. Could you tell us a bit about yourself and why you chose to specialise in calf housing?
Well, good morning, Hannah. I guess it's part of what I do. I work across the species. So we've worked as a group within SAC many years ago and working out how to manage systems. And we did pigs and we did poultry. And we realized that actually investing from before day one of age, that was the best way to get health and financial return out of animals. And I did a project for a couple of years on calves. I love calves. Cuddle a calf. You've got to cuddle a calf. And I was actually blown away how calves were kind of like forgotten about. They love the cows. Everybody loves cows. We love cows too. Cuddle a cow. But the way calves were looked after didn't fit with our growing understanding of the science. So eventually, many years later, we got round to addressing some of that. And I think between us all, we've done an amazing job at establishing, if you like, the value of investing in calves, and that the payback is huge when it comes in the second lactation. It comes from having better quality of calf to take into the herd. I was speaking to somebody last week who's had a couple of years at investing in the calf side of the business, and now they're selling good quality female calves because they've already taken their pick. And so I'm very positive about the benefits of it, but I accept also it's not easy. So, you know, there's a few things we need to look at.
Yeah, and that's why you're here to talk to us today. So, Jamie, let's start with the first time you visit a farm and the farmer maybe takes you to his calf shed. What would you be looking for when you go into this calf shed? What would be the alarm bells start to ring whenever you see what?
Nowhere's perfect. I know that. And I think it's very important to understand that we're not coming in here to kick the walls down. It's almost before that, Hannah, actually. So I'm sort of saying kind of a three-step approach, really. And the first one is before we get to what I call the assessment, is that I think we need to establish the timeline of what people really want to be doing. So there's really three timelines in my head. It's like, are we looking at how to sort out a problem that's blown up in front of us and we've got to do something very soon? We've got to do it today, tomorrow, next Wednesday, or whatever. We've got to get on your batch calving herds. You know, if it starts going wrong halfway through, there's no point talking about new calf housing. So I think that's my first point, is to establish really what the producer is after. Are they wanting a fix now? And we need to talk about how you might manage that. And that obviously isn't going to be perfect. Are we talking about something that really has been bugging them for ages, and maybe in the gap in the summer here, and we'll come back to that, when it's a good idea to give yourself space, which you don't think you have. That space is going to be between second and third cut silage or whatever. You can plan these things if you focus on the timing. And then the third timeline is, right, okay, we're going to get through this. We're muddling along, but actually I use a 5-year time frame. Because I think if you use a 5-year time frame, you're saying, well, actually, if I spent a bit more money on X, Y, and Z, my attitude is this is an investment process and we look at it that way. Will I get the money back? For example, a great favorite of mine is the floor. If the floor doesn't work today, ain't working tomorrow, ain't working forever. But actually, if later on in the midsummer, you stuck down some concrete and put some drains in the right place and tidied the whole place up, you'll get your money back within 5 years. That's a business decision. Then the second start of the process is, all right, let's go into the calf house. Let's have a look around. Let's make an assessment and talk it through. Because I think the great advantage, and we have many disadvantages over, say, the vet, but the producers, we're an outside set of eyes. And I think that what we need to do is to encourage people themselves to step back and look at their calf business from a very physical point of view and establish, there's a short list of 5 items, and we'll run through that. Which of these is wrong and it could be more or all of them, but that allows us, we must make a correct assessment of the problem, because otherwise, if we don't do that, we don't stand a chance of coming to the right solution. And then the third step of the process is, okay, we've carried out the assessment. Now what we need to do is prioritize time and labor. We don't talk enough about time and labor, both of which are actually money. And I think, again, we need to encourage producers to be a little more brutal about that. We all want to do everything ourselves. I mean, the farming community is brilliant at doing everything themselves. But those that have met me know sometimes I would put them up against a wall with a sharp stick and say, why don't you just do your job and get somebody else in to do this? Because then it's going to happen. But look at it as a business decision. So I think that's it. It's a three-step process. The first is time. The second is doing an assessment. And the third is let's make the priorities.
And so obviously, as you said, there's many stressors in the system, and there's five items you've said that we need to look at. So what are those five things that you've said we really need to be looking out for then?
Five items in any order. It's foolish to prioritize them at this point in time, Hannah, because we don't know. And you can get four right and one wrong. Well, it's the one wrong is in some ways is going to be easier to see. But if you've got it in your head, and I find it quite common, people have got it into their head that it's one thing or the other, and they focus on that, and you're looking behind you and you're saying, well, actually, guys, your hygiene's not up to scratch. So what are they? So I'll start with moisture, because you walk in the house, and I'm always interested and always saying to folk, don't focus only on what's in front of us. What's it like in February? What's it like in July? Our target, and there's a lot of potential here in the UK, our target is for dry calf housing. And if I walk in, and if the floor is wet outside the pens, I'm just going, that doesn't help us. The thing about the moisture is that it makes things colder. Damp environment is colder, which in the height of summer is useful. You can use that, but we don't go there. You know, our biggest problems are in those cold months of the winter. So damp makes things colder. Everybody understands that if they stop to think about it. It's also dirty, because if the dampness is coming out the front of the pens, then it's got, if nothing else, it's full of just general bacteria, but it might also be full of organisms that cause scour. It doesn't matter. And then we become the main spreader. So a dry floor looks to me as somewhere it's much more likely to be clean. It's not an internal biosecurity risk. So basically, it's colder and it's dirtier. It really doesn't help. And so the solutions to that are usually to do with the flooring, drainage. You're not going to do anything about that in the short term. Although things like drying up areas around calf feeders inside pens, we know there's a moisture problem. We can see there's a moisture problem. You speak to people and you clock it and you go, well, actually, that big soggy corner in the pen, round the calf feeder, get it dry. Buy some sawdust, get some sand in there. I think it's too common and straw's expensive. I'll see in the front of a calf pen a few square meters of damp concrete covered in feces and urine. I go, well, that's lovely. Thank you, guys. That's nice. If you don't need it, make the pen smaller. I kid you not. But it's a cold radiator and it's a dirty radiator. And then if you like cutting drains, it might sound nonsense to people that have never done it. I know loads of people that are doing it now, because you just point out that's a midterm investment. You're going to do it in the summer. Anybody can work out the most space in the calf house. Cut slots in the floor, make simple channels, keep the floor dry. As I said, there's no order, but temperature, I think, again, the industry's done a brilliant job here, but there's still some way to go. Quite simply, a calf, when it's born, if its temperature's below 15 degrees centigrade in the building, in Scotland, in Wales, in wherever, it's normal. And you sort of, well, calves have always lived in these temperatures and they didn't die. Neither they did. That's fine. But the problem is that inside the building, quite often it's colder than outside because we've got lots of cold, wet concrete and big steel frames and everything else. So we need to address it. We're not talking about today, but nutrition, nutrition, nutrition. You take more energy in. That's what humans do. We eat more in the winter than the summer. It's very simple. But temperature's the only problem in here. Then I'm sort of saying, right, we need to help them more with the things that are absolutely clear in science. It's to do with bedding. The calves need to be tucked up in a bed of straw. Well, straw's expensive, straw's rubbish, straw's this, straw's that. I'm saying, I don't care. That animal is going to start paying you back in 2 years' time and get it there quicker, healthier. you'll make more money. And if straw is expensive, then again, we come back to the floor. If the floor isn't draining properly, you're throwing lots of straw in there. I understand that. Make the pen smaller, put some wood chip underneath it. That comes again, the difference between a short-term solution and a longer-term solution. But you have to keep them dry on a dry bed. Tear out banknotes. I don't care. But the long-term is to sort the floor out. So we can talk about these things. I'll look at a building and go, well, basically it's a fridge. I see so many buildings. They're cold, cold buildings. And really what they need is stots in them. They're not built for calves. They're general purpose buildings with young stock in them. We must be realistic. And if that's what you've got, a cold building, then nutrition, dry bed, and maybe added heat. Fresh air, that's my third point. People talk about ventilation. Don't talk about ventilation. Talk about fresh air. And again, talking to the producers, they'll point out to me where there's less fresh air. But if something's smelly, that's a fresh air problem. And so, again, very important that people understand. The comment would be, oh, the ventilation's poor. And I'm going, well, it might be poor, but be careful what you do. Because if you start taking the sides off buildings, then you'll run into the fourth area of problem, which is airspeed, a draft. Yeah. So I think on that one, again, it's the short term, mid term, long term options. The short term option for improving fresh air delivery is to step back. HDB has got some good materials in this area. It's all free. It's online. Go and look at it. But generally, most of our buildings are ventilated by the wind, whether there are calves in them or 12,000 litre cows. If they're ventilated by the wind, the wind comes from all directions at some point of the year. And therefore, if you have a building that's pretty solid facing the west because you're in Devon or Cornwall or Anglesey or southwest Scotland, and that's where two-thirds of the weather come from, and you make it solid to protect the animals from the cold and the rain and everything else. Well, what you've also just done is eliminated free fresh air delivery for two-thirds of the year. And we really need to wise up about that. Again, the handbook has got good advice, and folk know me. I'm a total fan of Yorkshire board, which is two lines of boards, not one, you know, maybe some sheeting. But basically, we need to get the fresh air, allow the wind through the building. And it comes in one side, it needs to leave the other. So just opening the door will create an uncontrolled draft immediately in the area around the door and will do nothing for the back corners. We need air through a building. It's really as simple as that. A hole in the roof comes later. So I'll see things that people can do, even with pallets on small, small farms. You're using old buildings with the sort of standard door in the middle, window on either side, nothing at the back. I'm sort of saying, okay, that's what we've got right now. We've got a problem right now. What are we going to do? I'll just take the windows out and put some slats, put some louvers in. Make them yourself. You get two dots of wood vertically on either side of the window frame, which you've removed. Screw in or nail up some small bits of wood at a 15, 20 degree angle and just put some wooden slats in there. The whole point being that you absolutely won't have enough air inlet, and opening the door causes other problems. I'm saying get the air in, the air that will blow in through this window. But because the slats are pointing, they're not horizontal, they're pointing up the way, so that at least when the air gets a bit gnarly, the wind gets a bit strong, it puts the air up. And that brings us to air speed, which is the fourth point. So again, it might be that within the calf house that you're talking with the producer, folk will know there's a tremendous amount of information in there, isn't there? And then folk will sort of say, well, I always have a bit more problem up there or in here. And so I'll see it. It's more common that air speed is a problem in some of the more modern buildings. Air comes burling in through big doors on the gable ends, and that's the only way they can get fresh air in the building. But the problem is it's uncontrolled air speed. And of all the things we mentioned, of those four, so there's moisture, temperature, fresh air, air speed. Air speed is the one that will do the most damage the quickest to a young calf. It kind of comes and goes. There's a trend in people putting lids on the back of pens. I have mixed feelings about that because they kind of get in their way, they get broken, they get dirty, they can limit airflow locally. But I think certainly in the face of a problem, respiratory disease, once you've got a corner of the building where calves are spewing virus into the air, the whole system is vulnerable. And so you need a quick fix then open the building up, but make sure you protect the calves from a draft. The last thing about the fresh air speed thing is that in the midterm, you stick a fan and a duct in, PPTV. And again, there's going to be more and more information available about how to do this properly. Because again, I think the problem for the producer is that this business properly, they go and ask folk and someone sells them a bit of kit and they're left to put it in. And the trouble I see with this kind of approach is that I'm pretty confident that in most situations, modern calf housing, or where you've got more than 20 calves, 15 calves, you need PPTV, pressurized fan systems. A small one is going to cost you less than $1,000. A bigger one for 80 calves is going to cost you 1,300 quid, something like that. But if it's not specified right and the holes in the tube at the right point, then actually you can end up, for example, just chilling calves. So my point to producers is the information is available, but if you go looking for this kind of pressurized tubes, then if the person you're talking to doesn't appear to have the knowledge and doesn't ask you about what height it's going to be at and how far and how many calves, walk away, because you'll find somebody that can. So that, if you like, that's kind of rolls into my fifth point. Fresh air delivery is, if you like, aerial hygiene. And again, a bit like understanding that temperature, calves are only cold in the British climate, you above freezing point, for the first 3 to 4 weeks of life. If they're healthy and with a good food intake by week 4 or 5, most parts of the country, they're no longer cold, right? And that's fine. So what does it matter? That's been the problem, is that people are ignoring, and the science is very clear, those 4 weeks are important for lifelong development, as they are in any other animal that's ever been looked at properly. But hygiene, it's exactly the same thing, is that a young calf has a naive immune system. And funny enough, if you constantly stock a building with any animal, and when we're not doing our road shows, you know, which of course we maybe all miss, I certainly do, but I mean, it's quite simple. You know, if you had a room or a building for 30 people, and for 5 years, you constantly put young ones in one end and took the older ones out the other end, sooner or later, you'd all be suffering from all sorts of diseases. Now, the hygiene thing is a management issue. I'd be empathetic. I think there's quite a lot of calf facilities out there that are actually very hard to clean. And so we need to be realistic about that bit first. And I don't mean I don't have enough time. I'm saying, excuse me, if you don't have enough time to clean the place properly, that's a system problem. And you're using it as an excuse, and this can turn into an increase in your costs and your time and your antibiotic use and your failures of a calf reaching the second part of second lactation and start making you a profit.
Which will definitely take up a lot of time then.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I think we need more realism about hygiene. I think to be, as I said, to be empathetic, again, I come to what's our timeline here? The short term might be, I tell you what, crypto is a classic example.
Yeah.
Cryptosporidium. You know, it just keeps hammering people, and people tell me you can't get rid of crypto. And I'm saying, no, that's not correct. If you can't get rid of crypto, it's because you don't know how crypto works. And again, there is advice on this. So in the face of an outbreak, and this is a sort of summer job, I'm saying the problem here is you don't get rid of crypto by pouring Halocure all over the place. It is not possible. You can dampen the impact of crypto, which is the wonderful thing about medication, but you're going to keep fighting it. What you need to do is clean the space properly. Oh, well, I've always got calves. I've only got 4 pens and they're always full. And I go, that's why you can't get rid of crypto. So the point then is that we need to be more honest about these things and say, right, tell you what we can do, though. We're looking at May, June, July, August, September. We've got 5 or 6 months a year where actually what you could do, by the time calves are 2 or 3 weeks old, if you put them outside in some makeshift pens and some pig bales and a couple of gates across the top, they'll be probably better off outside than in a building that hasn't been cleaned properly. That's the first point.
Yeah, and then that'll give you time to get into that shed.
Yeah, or just into a part of that shed. But mm-hmm. We need to, so there's deep clean, and then there's the understanding there's facilities, then they're no longer cleanable. So again, people want to do something. They see an improvement. I'm saying, well, this is, you can't do that today, but in terms of months and definitely years, I'll go, right, these walls, however hard you work at them, are not cleanable. So they need steam cleaned, which is the only way you get rid of crypto. But if you can steam clean them, put a render on them. You know, our buildings work incredibly hard and we do so little with them. So render the wall up to sort of 4 feet, 1.2 meters above the ground. And then for the next 5-10 years, every time you go to clean that pen, it will be quicker and more effective. And for a bit of fun on top, and I'm quite serious here, if the wall surface quality is good enough, then put an epoxy resin type paint on top. I don't know the proper terminology, but we're used to doing it in parlours. Why don't we do it in calf housing?
That's an idea.
The point is the payback, I mean, this is about £7 a square metre, but the payback is that you've done something that will increase the efficiency of the building because you'll be able to clean it better. And then the other bits are hygiene. Okay, we've almost gone in a circle now. Mm-hmm. I'm coming back to the floor, the competence of the floor, where the drains work, you know, and it's almost, you can't do anything about that short term. Well, you can. You can start, throw some sawdust around, try and keep the liquor where you want it to be. But, you know, that to me is, I'm looking for a payback within 5 years on that stuff. I think as well, the other comment I make about hygiene is that biofilm, you know, the facilities, actually, they're not cleanable anymore. These wooden pen divisions, we love them. Our uncle had them. Our great uncle had them. Our great, 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 great uncle had them. And they're made out of the finest Yorkshire oaks or whatever. If you can scrape your thumbnail down a surface after you've washed it and pull off a waxy bit of scum, that's biofilm. And it's incredible. I think, again, the industry needs to work on this. There's a lot of people don't understand that power washing, certainly with cold water, and then applying disinfectant on something, is not necessarily effective at all. Mm-hmm. Because if the cold power washing won't wash the grease off, and some of the pathogens that we're concerned about, they're in the biofilm, and the disinfectant doesn't get to them. So I think we need to be more realistic. We've got stuff in there that, quite honestly, the only way to clean them properly is to burn them. And the good thing about spending money as you would on a fan and a duct, so a fan and a duct, to me, that can be quite a short-term solution, because wherever you put it, a year or two down the line, you decide you're going to build yourself a bespoke calf house. I tell you what, it'll have a fan and a duct in it, so you don't lose that. If you buy new pen divisions,
you can take them with you to your new house as well. Jamie, you were highlighting a lot about hygiene there, and as we know, it's very important to keep that clean calf house and everything else right, but there was something else I think you were going to tell me about hygiene, and something else that's really exciting that we should all be considering. So what is that, Jamie? Keep me in suspense now.
I think part of the missing ingredient in looking after calves is time and labour. Because the deal about time and labour is that there's no way we're going to get more of either. So we should be turning what we do on its head. We need to use our time better, and we sure as hell need to be nicer to ourselves. Now, people who've known me might find that a bit surprising that I suggest we be nice to each other. But actually, I really do. If you stood outside our industry and looked in at what we're doing, you would really rather wonder which century we're still working in. So hygiene and nutrition. We've got data coming out of the project, working with the lovely people in AFBI in Northern Ireland, but they're pretty dirty. And one of the places where there's a lot of dirt is in the milk and in everything else. So you see it around a bit. People are picking up the calf kitchen. So 2021, you're going to kick this one down the road. It's like 10, 11 years ago, calf jackets came on board. Mm-hmm. The calf kitchen, I've seen a very few brilliant examples. And what I like about it is hopefully like jackets too, that there'll be people in the commercial side will pick it up and run with it. But the great thing about it is people can do it themselves. And what I'm talking about is somewhere where there's an adequate supply of hot water or water at the correct temperature to prepare milk at 6:30 in the morning. It's already there, 150 litres of water at the right temperature. I did nothing, but I did buy a timer and I've got a tank. I think the other one is, I think in terms of cleaning water, you know, there's, as I said, we're picking up the data now, but there's a lack of cleaning around calf feeders. I mean, it's milk. We shouldn't really need to say a lot more. Funny enough, it goes manky quickly and it's full of bugs, you know, and the bugs go exponential between morning milking and evening milking. And so cleaning stuff. And I think if we want to really make a difference there, we need to make cleaning facilities more suitable. I think as a young lad, the cleaning that used to go on, yes, the difference was we only had 36 dairy cows up on the hill kind of thing. But I think we've lost the plot a bit there, you know, with more and more cows, funnily enough, with more and more calves. And I think that really the pressures have actually increased since a generation ago and two generations ago. And why don't we just make a calf kitchen where you can routinely bring stuff, clean it, you know, cleaning a Wydale feeder, absolute nightmare. But it wouldn't be such a nightmare if we had somewhere to soak it whilst we go and do something else, and then and a decent drain to all the dirty water to go. So that's the 2021. So
there we go, everybody. Calf kitchen. You heard it here first.
Yeah. The first quick one is, what's the time frame? What we're going to do quickly. So in terms of, if you like, temporary shelter, you people go down with TB. Sorry, their farms go down with TB. And of course, the issue there is that we start to run out of space. And space is a major consideration.
So what would you recommend sort of space wise per calf then, Jamie?
Well, a simple number to use is 2 square meters per calf in the pen. But be very, 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 very careful. Again, we've learned this in the broiler industry. We've learned this in the pig industry. The cattle industry comes slowly behind them. And the deal is, it's the quality of the space. We've actually had a go at designing new calf housing, and people go, oh, it's almost out of order stocking rate. And you go, no, that's 2 square meters. But the deal is, it doesn't have 10 square meters of cold, wet concrete at the front of the pen. It has a ventilation system that delivers fresh air to all the pens. In terms of, in the face of an outbreak, what can we do? The temporary shelters, we've gone down with TB, we're locked up. An absolute clear scientific fact is the greater the age range of calves within one space, the risk factor starts going up. So hopefully now we've all got our head around the idea of a risk factor, even if we don't know kind of how it all works. So the wider the age range, the bigger the risk. So the first thing I'm going, you know, people ask, like the jackets. Oh, I see people with jackets on calves, you know, and they're 4 or 5 or 6 weeks old. They're bursting out of them. I go, what's that about? That's a lack of understanding. Get the jacket off at 3 weeks, even in winter, unless it's sick. The same with the space. I'm sort of going, if you're going, I'll keep using TB as an example. Unfortunately, it's so common. I'm sort of saying, right, I'll tell you what, you've fucking density in here, not so much 2 square meters or 3 or 4, but it's the quality of the space. You know, the farmer knows, and they're correct. I've got a stocking density problem. So the number of square meters is not so much the problem, it's the quality. And I'll go, look, if you've got a tractor shed over there, or I don't care, get these larger animals out of there, because it is absolutely clear from commercial practice of top quality growers and the science that the increase in age range within a space increases the risk factors substantially. So whether it's buying some group hutches, get them outside, they're not going to melt. Using some gates, sticking some gates together, some Heston bales, something over the top. This is not your 5-year plan. The problem is, if you have an outbreak of anything and it goes through the batch, that batch is going to be on your, you know, how's it going to go through the next 2 years?
They're going to suffer, aren't they?
But the point is, your business is going to suffer. You're going to spend more feeding them, you're going to spend more money housing them. And this, again, very clear that you calves that are treated more than a couple of times, you know, they just don't make you as much money in first lactation and second lactation, and they have more problems. So I do say, don't be scared of putting calves outside. The winter, different issue. I do understand that, but I'm sort of saying, well, put your tractors outside and make a few pens up in another building. Chuck a load of, I don't care what goes on the floor, but as long as it's dry for the calves, get them in there, make it easy.
Okay, Jamie, so that's great. So we've just looked at moisture, temperature, fresh air, airspeed, and most importantly, hygiene in our calf houses, and about making short-term and long-term plans in our calf housing to get the best gains in 2 years' time, which is obviously the most important bit when they come into the herd. So I just want to finish off by, Jamie, could you tell me what you've been working on behind the scenes with AHDB and what exciting things are coming down the line?
Yeah, it was really, really good. And again, very lucky. I was glad to be asked. Some of you will know Ian Onstadt. He's a bit of a class act, is Ian, with his dairy cows. I'm just trying to educate him about young baby calves so he appreciates it all. But no, I'm laughing, of course. No, so a resource which is looking at calf house design. And in there, we've managed to cover most of the options that people are going to be looking at. I think it is very important, AHDB, you don't have a commercial angle, so you're not promoting one system over another. There is no one system. And so this is looking to be coming out and promoted by AHDB in a few weeks, I think. So that's been really good and really useful. And there's some case studies have been done. So some people so kindly came on board and allowed Ian and I to stride up, and AHDB got some camera people involved to see different options. I think that we need to take a more financial approach. And again, it's like talking about time and labor. I think one way of making the job better is to make it easier and more functional. And that's only going to happen if we start investing here, which is normal. We invest in parlors, we invest in cubicle housing. So there's a resource coming through which is going to cover also some of the more mundane things like what's legal, because the rules have changed, but also looking at the pros and cons of different systems. And I think we need to, but also, and we've had a go at putting financial costs to it as well, because I think people will be quite surprised at how some systems that are, in terms of capital, they're more expensive, but they might be more durable and more sustainable, you know, and cause less mess. So I'm really looking forward to it. And I think it's in its final stages.
Yes, so that is very exciting for everybody to look out for. And hopefully this resource will be available to you all listening in July. And it's going to be an online resource, so make sure you keep an eye out for it. So this is All Things Calf Housing with Jimmy Robertson, Ian Onstad. And if you are in more information on calves, we also have our calf management resource that could be posted out to you as well. Thank you all very much for listening, and thank you very much, Jamie, for your time today. I'm Hannah Lilburn. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
The AHDB podcast. Subscribe now so you don't miss future episodes.